Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 9th, 2007. This week, how climate change affects coral reefs. Also, the answer to a listener's question about how amoebas move. But first, as hard as you may try, you probably can't remember being a year old. That's a universal and poorly understood condition called childhood amnesia. Chelsea Wald's here to tell us one explanation for why it happens.
How old were you in your earliest memory? For most people, it's about 3.5. But psychologist Patricia Bauer of Duke University says that doesn't mean younger children can't make memories. She's found that 6-month-olds can remember how to put together a toy. Instead, the problem is that babies forget much faster than adults. As they get older, they can hold on to their memories far longer.
So that what you have is that by the time kids are about 3.5 years of age, they're forming memories at a faster rate than they're forgetting them, and they're holding on to them for a longer period of time. And as a result, we see this gradually increasing number of memories.
She adds that forgotten childhood memories seem to be truly lost, meaning nothing will be able to bring them back.
Thanks, Chelsea. Most of the Earth's enormous continental plates meet in the ocean, but in Ethiopia, the African and Arabian plates meet on dry land and have recently begun pulling apart at a furious rate. Normally, the plates separate at a rate of about 16 millimeters per year, the length of a large ant. But a crack formed between the plates 1.5 years ago, pushing them apart 8 meters almost overnight. The rift remains active, and an international team of scientists is assembled to study it using satellite and radar technology. In other geology news, researchers may have found the island of Ithaca, described by Homer in the Odyssey. No Greek islands match the features that Homer described, but a small peninsula called Palaiki does seem to match up. And now, geologists report that thousands of years ago, Palaiki may well have been an island. Next, Justin Warner answers a listener's question.
Despite having no limbs and only one cell, amoebas can move purposefully on their own. Specifically, they can sense and follow chemical gradients. Listener emailed us to ask how they do it. Turns out University of Iowa biologist David Saul has been studying this lately, and it's quite a hot topic. The basic answer is that the amoeba extends part of its body forward, creating what's called a pseudopod, or false foot. The rest of the body somehow follows behind it. It was once thought that this was just a simple matter of stretching one part of the cell and contracting the rest, but Saul says that's not the case.
What's interesting is there's an expansion in front and the inhibition of making false feet in the back so that it can move in the right direction. And this is just becoming clear. And most biologists still have a very simplistic concept of how an amoeba moves, and it's completely wrong. And in most textbooks, it's probably wrong.
He says that just under the membrane, an amoeba is surrounded by a layer that's filled with fibers of a molecule called actin. To form a pseudopod, the actin fibers link up into long chains that push the edge of the cell outward. Exactly how this is regulated and what makes the rest of the cell follow along remains a mystery involving hundreds of molecules. Saul and other researchers are trying to learn more because many cells in the body move in very much the same way, including embryonic cells as they form organs in a developing fetus.
And there's so much amoebic movement in just embryogenesis. One mistake in one of these several hundred molecules will affect the process and will cause a disease. That's how sensitive the system is.
He says misdirected cells can also lead to blood diseases and even cancer.
And if you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or submit it at scienceupdate.com. If we use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug. Women who have never smoked are much more likely to get lung cancer than male non-smokers. Stanford University medical oncologist Heather Wakely and her colleagues discovered this when they analyzed several long-term health studies involving over 1 million people in the U.S. and Sweden. She says that non-smokers also make up a higher percentage of female lung cancer patients than male.
It ends up being about 19% of all lung cancer in women is in women who've never smoked, and about 8% of lung cancer in men is in men who have never smoked.
As to why, she says it's possible that because smoking is more common in men, female non-smokers may be more likely to be exposed to secondhand smoke from their spouses. But Wakely says it'll take much more research to tease out all the possible risk factors. Finally, if it's 1 or 2 degrees above normal outside, you probably wouldn't notice. But some creatures are sensitive to such small changes, and for them, global warming is life-threatening. Chelsea's here to tell us about one of them.
Global warming might seem like a distant threat to most people, but to coral reefs, it's a clear and present danger, Evolutionary ecologist Drew Harvell of Cornell says warm temperatures seem to weaken corals' immune systems, while at the same time causing diseases to flourish, a 1-2 punch. What's more, corals have a symbiotic relationship with algae that provide them with oxygen and nutrients.
And the algae are actually very sensitive to changes in temperature. And so even 1 or 2 degree increase in temperature can cause the symbiosis to fall apart, the zooxanthellae to leave the coral, and the coral can die if the thermal stress doesn't end.
In fact, scientists have documented several cases of heat-related coral death around the world. Harvell and others hope to save those that remain by finding ways to boost their immunity, kill their diseases, and protect them from people.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll answer a listener's question about rainbows. In the meantime, visit us online at scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.